Today we're going to continue our study on the noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. In other words, verses that stand out. And we're going to go from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. And I'll briefly comment on each of these verses that are covered. But this study in no way is exhaustive in scope, and you may have some of your own that you might like to share with me. So if you do, please send them to me at the address given at the end of the broadcast. We're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 4, in verse number 7. Genesis 4, 7, the Word of God says this: "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." You see, some people are accepted, while others are not. Still today, there are only two kinds of people in the world: those accepted in Christ, and those who are not accepted. Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 21. "And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ." And what I want us to notice there is Jubal's connection with music, hence the word we get Jubilee. Amen. Moving on to Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. The Word of God says this: "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him." Now, the phrase "a book of generations" is found only twice in the Bible. The first occurrence is here, where the context is the generation of Adam. As these generations are listed, the word "dead" is recorded 8 times because, as the Bible tells us, in Adam all die. Amen. The other occurrence is in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1:1. A chapter in which no death is recorded, since Christ is life. And the word "beget" is found 39 times. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. The Word of God says, "Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created." Amen. And of course, this does away with, according to the Word of God, transgenders and homosexuals and lesbians, amen, and all other the other kinds of perversions that we have out there. It says male and female created him them. Very clear, black and white, no wiggle room, no gray area. The other thing I want us to see is God called the name Adam, which explains why the wife takes the husband's name under this day. See? And many modern women like to show their rebellion by keeping their maiden name in a hyphenated form, for example, Hillary Rodham Clinton, failing to realize that the maiden name was also a man's name. Amen. Let's look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. "And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth." So here we see Adam begetting a son in his own likeness, after his image. Means that he begot a sinner in the image of sinful man and not in the image of God. Amen. Look in Genesis chapter 6 with me. Genesis chapter number 6, in verse number 4, the Word of God says this: "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." Now, these giants were literal giants, and they were produced as a result of angels cohabitating with the daughters of men. These are the angels that kept not their first estate, mentioned in the book of Jude, verse 6. Now notice in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Also after that," and this indicates that such activity also occurred after the flood, which explains the existence of giants throughout the Old Testament. Let's look at some references to giants in the Old Testament. Amen. I would like us first to turn to the book of Numbers. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, notice, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants which were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." And of course, this is referring to the time when Moses sent out the 12 men to check out the land and search the land. Amen. Notice also with me in the book of Deuteronomy, we want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 11. Starting in verse 11, notice. Deuteronomy chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, in the Word of God says this: "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnants of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it after the cubit of a man." And then in verse 12, "In this land which we possess at the time from Aorer, which is by the river Arnon, and half of the Mount Gilead, the cities thereof gave I unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites." So then it goes on, and it says in verse 13, "The rest of Gilead and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half the tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants." And then in Joshua, we want to look at the book of Joshua. So we're seeing that this thing of angels, fallen angels, co-inhabiting with the daughters of men continued. We see it before the flood, but also we see it during, it continued to go on after the flood, during the Old Testament time. Now in Joshua chapter 18 and verse 16, the Word of God says this. It says, let's go back to Joshua 18, verse 16. The Word of God says this: "And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the valley of giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom to the side of Jebusai on the south, and descended to En-Rogel." So we see time and time again references to giants all through the Old Testament. Satan's plan is all of this was to destroy the promised seed that was mentioned and talked about in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, an effort that he continues in various ways throughout the Old Testament. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 9 in verse number 6. Genesis chapter 9 in verse number 6, the Word of God says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Now what we want to see here is the institution of capital punishment for murderers is ordained of God before the Old Testament law. And then we see capital punishment continuing during the law. Amen. And we see that, let's look at Exodus chapter 21 in verse number 12. Exodus 21:12. We read this. The Word of God says, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death." And also we, if you read the chapter of Numbers 35, you'll see, again, capital punishment is ordained of God, not only before the Old Testament, during the law, and also after the law. Amen. Right now, during the age of grace. Look in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. You know, some of our politicians should review the material here, Romans chapter 1. Amen. I know most states have done away with capital punishment. But notice here in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Look at it in verse 2 now as we continue in Romans 13. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Verse number 3. "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power to do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same?" Verse 4. "For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." And the problems we're having in this country, the lawlessness and all that goes along with it, is a result of people here in this country not obeying what God says. Amen? Time and time again. And then we see the Apostle Paul makes a statement in the book of Acts, chapter 25 with me, if you would. Acts 25 and verse number 11. We read this in the Word of God. Paul said, "For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar." So Paul, amen, was a proponent of capital punishment. Because he said, if I've done anything that's worthy of death, in other words, if he murdered anyone, he should be put to death. I would refuse not to die. Amen. So let's continue on and let's look at Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 15. Notice the Word of God says this in Genesis 9:15, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." So then, my dear listeners, the polar ice caps are not going to succumb to global warming and melt over the entire planet. No, the next destruction of this earth will be with fire and not water. Notice what the Word of God has to say in the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 10. Notice, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So the next time when the Lord comes, this earth is not going to be destroyed by a universal flood, but by water. And now, in Genesis chapter 10, the whole chapter, verses 1 to 32, amen, 10 is the Gentile number in the Bible. So the genealogy of the Gentiles is found here in Genesis chapter 10. And this also is where we find the first Gentile kingdom. Notice, in Genesis 10:10, "In the beginning of his kingdom," amen, Nimrod's kingdom, "was Babel," amen, "Ir, Ek, and Arkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar." So here we have the mention of the first Gentile kingdom, Genesis 10:10, 10 being the number of the Gentiles. Now, let's look at in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, where we have the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, verses 3 to 4. "And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto the heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Plenty is said about us, but nothing is said about God. A common occurrence when men decide to get together for the common good. All you need to do is see the United Nations Charter for a fine example. When men get together, the first thing they do is kick God out. Amen and amen. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 12 in verse number 3. Genesis 12:3. The Word of God says this, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Amen. So why is this a noteworthy verse in the Bible? Well, Genesis 12:3, this is the original blessing on the Jewish people and on their friends. Now we see the blessing passes down from Abraham to Isaac in Genesis chapter 25. If you'll turn to Genesis 25 in verse number 11, notice what the Word of God has to say in Genesis 5:11. "And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac." The blessing continues. It's passed down from Abraham to Isaac and then to Jacob. Jacob in Genesis 27 in verse number 29. Let's turn to Genesis 27 verse 29. We read, "Let people serve thee and nations bow down to be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee." So we see the blessing passes down from Abraham, Isaac, then to Jacob, and then on to the 12 tribes and their descendants. Let's look at Genesis chapter 48 with me. Genesis 48. And in Genesis 48, we want to look at verse 9. Notice what the Word of God says here. And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Then notice, if we drop down to Genesis 48, in verse number 16. And it says, "And the angel which redeemed me from the evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." And then look in, drop down to verse 20, and it says, "And blessed be them that day." And he blessed them that day, saying, "And these shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Then, let's continue on as we look at some references here on this, cross-references to Genesis 12:3. Look in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers with me in chapter number 6. Chapter 6, beginning in verse number 23, the Word of God says this, "And speak unto Aaron and his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Then let's turn to Psalm 33 with me. Psalm number 33 in verse number 12. The Word of God has this to say. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." All right, let's move on to Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. And we read, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." So why is this a noteworthy verse in the Bible? Well, here we have, this is the first famine in the Bible. And it was sent to test Abraham. And like most of us, when adversity came, he entered a state of panic and made a foolish choice. Remember, Abraham had just been given the land of Canaan there in verse 7 of Genesis 12, yet now he leaves the promised land for the securities of Egypt, a type of the world. Naturally, when he reaches Egypt, he finds even more trouble. Amen. That's where he got the Egyptian handmaiden Hagar for his wife Sarah, was when they went down into Egypt. And what a problem she caused. All right, Genesis 14:4. Genesis 14:4. The Word of God says, 12 years he served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Here we have the first mention of 13 is in the context of rebellion. Remember, the number 13 in the Word of God is the number for rebellion. Looking in Genesis 15, verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Here we have in Genesis 15:5 the Old English tell, which means to count. Hence, we have a bank teller. Amen. Alrighty, let's look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. We read this. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river of Euphrates. So, the reason this is a noteworthy verse in the Bible is, it shows us the little piece of real estate that Israel currently possesses is only the front lawn of what she's going to get in the future. And God is very interested in land. The word occurs over 1,700 times in the Bible. And a nice chunk of it has been promised to Abraham's descendants. Amen. Alrighty, let's turn and move on to Genesis chapter 16, verse 12. And he will be a wild man. And he will be a wild man, referring to Ishmael. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Why is this so noteworthy, this verse? It shows us that the Arab descendants of Ishmael are said to be wild, not reasonable. You see, the idea of having peace talks and peace treaties with such people is ridiculous. Amen. All right, so let's turn to Genesis 17:1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. The notion that nobody's perfect is a fallacy. Abraham was commanded to be perfect. In fact, there are some men in the Bible who are said to be perfect. Look with me first in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings with me. In chapter 15, in verse 14, the word of God says this, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with God all his days. And then in 1 Chronicles with me, the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, in verse number 38, the word of God says this, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Amen. And then let's look at Job chapter 1, verse 1. Job 1:1. In Job 1:1, God says about Job, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Amen. Jesus even commanded perfection in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. The word perfect doesn't indicate sinlessness, but rather wholeheartedness towards God. That concludes our study today. I pray you join me next time as we continue to look at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.